turn left.
God, those communists are amazing.
All right, let's just get started, because Sterling, you're pretty much going to run this one. We're going to talk about Diddy all night, right?
Yeah, it's easier said than done to get it started.
The diddler? God,
there's so much, man. There's so much. So, where to start? So I guess what we'll do is I'll kind of take it in sections so that I can get a little bit out and then give everyone else kind of the chance to take their time, you know, making their points and commenting on it. So
sections.
We'll start it with, obviously, most of our listeners are probably aware that P. Diddy is getting accused of some very heinous stuff. Also, a lot of stuff that he's been accused of in the past. But this time is a little different. This time's a little different than any time anyone's really ever been accused. So the last big figure that we probably remember was the Epstein situation, when Epstein went down. And are you wondering whether or not Epstein is connected to all? Of fucking course. Of course he is. And we'll get to that. But Epstein, his purpose was to facilitate a very specific desire very rich, disgusting people had. That was Epstein's purpose in life. I'm sure he was a pedophile before he made it a profession, I guess, before he went pro, but he did eventually kind of become like the fucking, I don't really know sports people, sorry, but you get where I'm going with this. And
MVP,
also
the most valuable pedophile.
Oof. And oh my God. And also to the listeners who are like, oh my God, why are you laughing through a bunch of this sick shit? I have trauma and I process my trauma with humor and we're all fucking shit posters. So I apologize if that is offensive. I actually understand why. Mm-hmm. But trigger warning, you know. So a lot of people, when we use words like Illuminati, it paints it actually does the exact opposite of painting a specific picture. It paints a very ambiguous picture. Mm-hmm. We all associate the word Illuminati with like mysticism and like, you know, just supernatural circles. When in reality, all the Illuminati is just a secret society. If you actually go back to the original Illuminati that was formed, oddly, I believe in like literally 1776, just not here in the U.S. It was like Bulgaria, but anyway, someplace that's
why
now
there?
Germany.
I thought you were going to talk about like the Scottish Rite or some shit.
No, it's like
Bavaria.
Bavaria, yeah, it was started in Bavaria. And basically how it started was...
Wait, are you saying Bulvaria?
I can't pronounce even
my... He's just
my
got balls on the mind, dude.
It's bro, fine. Yeah.
Bavaria?
So, Bavaria. Okay, Bavaria sounds way fucking doper. You wouldn't understand. But so, it was started... The guy who originally started it, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he wanted to start a secret society to help get some of his ideas of enlightenment, things that would make the world better. Like he kind of seemed like someone who wanted the world to take science a little more serious, but from a very individualist perspective. And they called this the Enlightenment Movement. And he initially joined the Freemasons, but he found the Freemasons just weren't what he thought they were. And you know, that's what a lot of people who join the Freemasons realize, that it's really just a bunch of old dudes fucking circle jerking and planning fucking car washes and shit. But he realized that they really weren't doing fucking anything except for helping each other. But he wanted to influence, not like have a tight network. He wanted his network to branch out. So he got a few people. They initially came up with like actual initiation processes, which involved putting live animals on a member's head and sacrificing it and the animal dying on top of the person. So they took initiation very, very fucking serious. And a lot of these things carry over to after the next decade as the original Illuminati dies out and loses power, gets outlawed. They had a lot of success. They were actually influencing people of power. They had gotten politicians involved. They had branched out over several countries. They were pretty successful at what they were doing, but they fell victim to the fact that the bigger you get, the more people know about you, and that's kind of the opposite of what you want with a secret society. So they became a lot less secret than they wished. The Bavarian government started kicking in doors of known members and taking documents, and they started like actually outing a lot of politicians. They outlawed the Illuminati. Anyway, leads to the death of the Illuminati. Now, when we say Illuminati, people picture like as if that group like continued since then. Of course it fucking didn't. They're all dead and gone. When we say Illuminati, we just mean a secret society with heinous objectives, basically. A secret society that has some kind of control over just the direction of the world and the media, etc. And there's a lot of these secret societies. Epstein was in control of one of these secret societies, which was basically, if you play by the rules, if you're in the political game and you do what you're told, if you follow the neoliberal guidelines, then you get invited to the club. And yeah, the club comes with initiation, and it's not necessarily a pig being executed over you. It's a child that you have to get initiated by. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I have a couple pretty big questions just right off the bat.
Yep.
The thing you just like buried the lead with, like saying that they're sacrificing literal kids. I don't know. I mean, because of course that rings like QAnon territory, right?
Yep.
So I'm eager to hear what you're gonna have to say about that. But I don't know if the part where I introduce Isaac is gonna get on the recording, because I can't remember like where we left off as far as that. So I'm gonna skip like my normal intro. But like by way of doing that, like obviously it's Turn Up It's a podcast. Welcome back, everybody. But Isaac is from the Coexist Incorporated podcast. So welcome, sir. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. That was a great history lesson. I feel a little misled. I thought we were just going to speculate on which rappers were gay and which weren't. I thought that's what we were.
That's the important shit, right?
Because I have a whole list right now of download rappers.
I would like to jump into that. Is Meek Mill on your list?
It's top of the list right now.
Is Drake on the list?
Oh, yeah. No, the Drake gay accusation. I mean, you saw, I didn't see his penis, but I heard it was pretty gay.
Yeah, that's like one of the internet things that I heard. And I was Sterling, like, you know what? Don't need to investigate.
Oh,
that.
Sorry. I was like, yeah, I heard he had a fat hog. So, yeah,
oh, you heard? Look. You heard? Yeah.
So I beat off to that hog.
What I was going to ask Sterling is like, so like the whole reason we even know about Operation
my
Gladio.
They just text me fat hog.
Oh, no.
I guess it's been confirmed.
What was the event that kicked this off? Like, was there, like I was going to say, we know about Operation Gladio because there was like a model in a car with a politician and they got into an accident and there was no reason for those two people to be together. And that's why we know about this whole underground ring of like sheltering Nazis after World War II. But like, how did this get like discovered to begin with? And like, how seriously do you think that this is going to uncover some kind of other secret society that people really don't know about? Like, is this going to really blow the lid off of some deep shit that we just otherwise wouldn't know about?
I've got a lot of opinions on that. So let me back up for a second. So like I said, we kind of explained the whole Epstein thing. So that's what Epstein was doing. If you want to play the political game, blah, 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 follow the rules, go to his island, partake in some very heinous shit with a child. And now you're in the club and now you can do that whenever the fuck you want. But it's kind of like franchises in all of these different cultures. You have your Epstein that was planted in there, because some people, their desire is not necessarily just, you know, the 12-year-old child. Their desire is like Britney Spears. And it's funny, like now that we really kind of get our head around a lot of this and we realize how crazy a lot of these celebrities get, we realize it's because they're all fucking rape victims. And I'll get into more detail about that in a second, but there is an appetite for everything. And when these billionaires can have anything they want, well, of course, some of the things they're going to want is underage children, but also celebrities. And so this is where P. Diddy comes in. P. Diddy's secret society, you know, Illuminati, is based on a lot of other people that were around him. He even called his secret society the Illuminati. Is it the real Illuminati? Of course not. That is just a term we use for secret society. Like, if you're going to be in a secret society, of course you're going to call your secret society the Illuminati, because that sounds ill as fuck. Of course, if you're fucking Jay-Z, you're going to do the pyramid shit to make people think that you're in the Illuminati, because that sounds ill as fuck. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, fuck, they called the Willy Wonka experience was put on by House of Illuminati.
Right.
Ill as fuck. Case in point.
Yeah. Yeah, super ill. But with the entertainment industry and I don't want to miss your questions. What were some of those questions again, Mike?
Was there any particular event that like started to uncover this? Because I know you were telling me before about P. Diddy's doing some crazy shit with an NDA, basically.
Yes. So a few things recently have happened that kind of brought this to light. And when I say to light, it's like hearing people argue in the hotel room next to you. Like you can put your ear on the wall and you can get a gist of what's going on. You can get a gist of who's in that room, but you can never truly confirm shit. And ultimately, that's going to be how this plays out. It's like with Epstein. We got so fucking close. And then he decided to commit suicide. You know, it's crazy how this shit happens. And I'm not saying like P. Diddy is going to, you know, tie a rock, sock around his neck or catch a bullet walking to a courthouse step. Wouldn't surprise me. But they probably don't have to do that because they're crucifying him in a way that we've crucified other people. Epstein was pretty unique. He actually had a detailed ledger of fucking politicians. I mean, is a little more serious. Most of what P. Diddy recorded other people he was trying to add to his collection, so to say. And I'll explain more about what I mean about that later. So most of what he had evidence on was kind of the product itself. You know, if he wanted to trick out a certain rapper, he would first get that rapper into a suggestive situation, get that recorded, use that against him to slowly break that rapper and turn that rapper into a prostitute. Whereas Epstein actually recorded these big influential people. It's said that he actually had video evidence of like people we fucking know doing shit. So that's why Epstein got killed. Alleged. But as far as where this happens, it oddly goes back to two events. The first event was a few months back. P. Diddy was making the news because he was giving out publishing rights back to his artist. And I'll get more into publishing later on in the video. But basically, that is where a label makes its most money. And to give publishing rights back to an artist is literally unheard of. If anything, it may be one or two there for some specific reasons. But to just blanket give your artist all their publishing is like, it's literally never been done.
It's like opening up the treasure chest and letting everybody have at it.
Yeah, he was being praised for being like the most generous guy in the fucking music industry, blah, blah, blah. And then some artists came out and said, no, it came with a fucking NDA. He wasn't being benevolent. He was giving us a quid pro quo and saying, hey, you guys want your publishing back? You've been asking for decades? Okay, sign this document. And a lot of people said, I'm sorry, but what you fucking did is more important to get out there than that little bit of fucking publishing on some old music. So that's how we kind of learned about that whole situation and why the publishing was given back. The other event that kind of set this in motion was, did anyone watch the Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp?
Yes, movie? I fucking did. That was shit.
I was just about to say.
He was putting everybody on blast.
Somewhere at this point near the beginning of the episode of him being like, because P. Diddy's going to ask you to party, and you've got to tell him no.
yeah.
Oh, he was like, he said he would suck my penis in front of my people.
Wow.
It was really good. He put all kinds of people in Hollywood on blast. He literally started talking about events where he was in Illuminati events, which were, like I was saying, it's these little secret societies, and of course they're going to call themselves the Illuminati. So as far as how he means it, he was being honest in those situations. And he does talk about P. Diddy in a very specific way that paints a very bad picture of him. And since that event, everyone's been trying to dissect it and find any part of that Cat Williams interview where he was lying. And there's been a lot of people say shit, but no one's been able to refute shit yet. And especially the Diddy stuff, you know, people have been specifically avoiding defending Diddy. And it's just been like, since it went down, no one's been defending Diddy. And all of these sexual assault allegations start coming out, no one's defending Diddy. And now we're looking back at things that happened in the past and realizing, oh my God, this is, he hasn't even been hiding it good. Like, it's wild how fucking good hindsight works, because this shit is so goddamn obvious. When I say obvious, I mean, he's literally been telling us what he was doing. Like, there are videos of him with Justin Bieber at 15 years old. So to give you a background on Justin Bieber, first I got to give you a background on Usher. Actually, before we start diving more into that, because that's really getting into the meat and potatoes, anyone else want to jump in and give some opinions or any other questions before we really get into this?
I'm just loving the Charlie Day, like, red lines that you're, like, spinning off to, trying to stay in the pocket of the theory and everything that's happening.
I do appreciate it, though.
And you're just splintering off and just having to pull yourself back.
What is this, sir?
That's muscadine wine.
It's a muscadine wine. It's fantastic.
Straight chartreuse from the
bottle. Ward, did you want to explain real quick that tweet you put in the chat? It's like,
oh,
Puffy and who?
I mean, we were talking about Meek Mill, and so, like, it's from, like, one of P. Diddy's parties with Meek Mill, like, grabbed the mic and started fucking rapping. And as soon as he started talking fucking, the way Diddy whips his fucking head around at him.
Hungry like a wolf.
Yeah, just watch that.
I want to quote my favorite rapper, RXK Nephew. Now, it's, like, been an open secret in the rap community that Diddy's gay. 50 Cent has been talking about it for a while. I mean, he was on The Breakfast Club hurling pretty wild accusations years ago. Yeah. RXK in a song called Unsubscribe Me and Don't Buy My Music. If you haven't listened to RXK Nephew, I think he's probably the only straight rapper in the game now. I don't know. But he said, I really think Biggie was gay. If you rewind the shit that he used to say, he said he gonna suck his girlfriend daddy dick. Man, I would have never said that shit. I bet you P. Diddy said that bar was fire. That's all I'm saying.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, it goes back far, man. The whole fucking time.
As a Jew,
that's
I'm
hell
just,
of a bar.
As a Jew, I'm super relieved that it was not a Jew this time. It was some sort of, like, sex trafficking purveyor. You know, it shows that there's, anybody could do it. It's not just my people.
It's diverse. We're gonna, isn't that what the liberals wanted?
I the hate, Clarence Thomas of sex trafficking. From, you know
I
mean?
Hate to tell you that we do kind of circle back to that in a bit.
Oh, the Jewish mob, Meyer Lansky? And
not specifically, but there are some Jewish people involved that the reason I bring that up is because it actually does matter, because I think we may actually know why Kanye hates Jewish people now.
Oh, wow. That actually would explain a lot. Yeah.
Well, I'll be your shield. You can put me in front and, you know, I'll give your anti-Semitic hall pass here.
Okay. And I just need to say, as everyone who's listening and taking this journey with us, obviously no one here is against homosexuality. I think most people in this room are at least bisexual.
I'm super queer.
Okay, fantastic. We are.
All right, this is where we need to cut in that Boondocks audio of, like, oh man, he was my favorite and he's gay. Does that make me gay? Yeah.
But we're all very big allies, and there is the only thing here that P. Diddy did not do wrong was being gay. Of course, you can be fucking gay. But what we're angry about is that he was a predator and that he was using his sexual orientation against people that did not share the same sexual orientation. Or at least did not know whether or not they did at the time, you know. Obviously, everyone's on a fucking spectrum, but to say that, oh, well, you did gay activities with someone who wasn't gay when everyone's kind of in the gray area to begin with. But you get my fucking point. Gay, good. Being a fucking predator, not good.
Bad.
Yeah, there you go.
So you got to bring that around, man. If you stay off that train too long and not bring it back around, it's not a good look.
Well, it is interesting. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the work of Nick Bryant, right?
I am not.
Nick Bryant is, like, the premier sex trafficking investigative reporter. He broke the Franklin scandal out of Nebraska, and he also was the guy who got his hands on Jeffrey Epstein's Black Book. And
oh, wow.
It to Gawker. Gawker was the only publication to publish that. really interesting that Gawker got shut down for some Hulk Hogan shenanigans. I think that that was actually, I think they killed Gawker because they published the Black Book. But Nick Bryant has diagnosed sexual blackmail and how it operates in the world and how it's operated throughout history. And the thing about homosexuality and why it's so easily blackmailed is because of the stigma again. But yes. He also says that, you know, you will become more powerful if you are blackmailed. You blackmail your way up the ladder, because yes. If they have shit on you, then you succeed, which is why I think if your podcast doesn't do well, if you don't take off as like a media figure commentator, it's because you aren't gay. there's no gay blackmail on you. That's the problem.
Fuck.
So if you guys want to
we were number one in Macedonia for political podcasts.
Yeah. I got to check that. Maybe we're still doing well in Macedonia. We should check.
Oh, yeah. That's where all your handlers are listening to you out of some Macedonian server.
I think we lost that in Macedonia.
Well, it's funny. When I did find that out, the second thing I found out was that Macedonia was like a hub for internet propaganda. Politically, like everything that's like political related.
A win's a win, whether by an inch or a mile. Like, it's family and other vendings.
I am very happy, though, that we just occupy this little niche corner of the internet. The less, I don't want to be really viral with the shit that we're saying on here. We insult too many white people.
Yeah. Give me they one second. If you guys can just take the lead for one second, I'm trying to find a name.
Oh, okay.
We can't be left to our own devices for even a second.
Well, no, I think.
Yeah, we instantly started talking shit about Mike once Mike wasn't here.
Oh, okay.
Like,
go for it.
Yeah, like given like 2 minutes of free time, we were like, fuck that guy.
Well, I don't know if you guys want to get into some of the actual accusations in this court document.
Yeah, yes, break the news.
I like know little bits of here and there for this.
Well, it's a very interesting piece of legal paper because the they don't do a really good job of blacking out a lot of stuff. Like you can infer because of the footnotes, they don't black out the footnotes. So when they'll say like P. Diddy was engaged in like this with this famous Philadelphia rapper, it's just like, oh, that's Meek Mill, pretty obvious. And then they're like, oh, and this a guy who performed at the Super Bowl in the footnotes. And then so you can kind of infer that they're talking about Usher, they're talking about Meek Mill, they're talking Chris Brown. Yeah, they said some rapper who was accused of domestic abuse against some like woman from Trinidad.
Yeah, it
like,
just okay, really narrows it down like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to be vague, but going to know who.
But the thing about these allegations, and this is why what we actually have more than from this P. Diddy stuff than I think we'll ever get out of the Epstein file, because that producer, Lil Rod, Rodney Jones, who's accusing P. Diddy of all these shenanigans, has video evidence because for whatever reason, P. Diddy forced him, demanded that he record everything. So he has just this trove of blackmail against Diddy, which is so strange, so lazy. That's the thing with, I would say, the connection I have with the parallels with Epstein and Diddy are massive. I do think they targeted different people, different industries, but they both did the same thing, which was they got too big for their britches. Like Epstein, Matt Crispin always said this about Epstein. He says Epstein doesn't exist. He's not real. Like he is this idea that he is the mastermind of this sexual blackmail operation. No, he's just a little piece in this play. He's not pulling the strings. He's not at the top of the thing here. Neither is Diddy. Diddy's just this purveyor. He got lazy. He got too big for his britches. And to be so lazy as to let this producer get you because I love that he said unsolicited, like anal tickling or something like that, because he didn't want to, because he wouldn't give him these credits. It's like, it shows that there's like a level of incompetence even within these like nefarious secret yes. societies. So I think we can take a lot. There's hope to be had in this, that like they're kind of idiots and human in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. And that was another thing, like I was saying, with looking back, like it's not that the signs were there. It's that it was fucking obvious. Like it was they were in our face with like Diddy has been dumb the whole fucking time. Like
I think Isaac's description of lazy is more apropos, actually. Like just lazy. Just not even bothering to cover the tracks. I'm not going to use Signal. I'm going to use fucking WhatsApp because it's easier. You know what I mean? Just a total lack of regard.
For example, like with the Justin Bieber thing. So Justin Bieber at 15 years old, and to understand how Justin Bieber gets brought into this, you have to understand that Usher was basically the one who discovers Justin Bieber. He signs him underneath L.A. Reid. So L.A. Reid effectively has Justin Bieber signed. L.A. Reid, if you guys aren't familiar with him, another fucking pedophile who's been known in the industry for a long time, who literally is known for doing this shit, for pimping out fucking artists.
Jesus, no, I did not know that at all.
Yeah, so L.A. Reid was probably, you know, a big influence on Diddy. Anyway, L.A. Reid sends 15-year-old Justin Bieber up to Diddy's house for what he called flavor training. And when Justin Bieber arrives, they're shooting some kind of like, it almost felt like a home movie, but I think it was like one of those kind of like early on MTV sketches where, you know, where they kind of like shot everything with like a home movie thing, like when like the MTV Cribs kind of era thing. Anyway, they're shooting this video of Justin Bieber after he had got to Diddy's house, and Diddy's walking him around. He uncovers a Lambo and he's like, yeah, yeah, the Lambo, that's yours when you turn 16. And he's like, when you turn 18, you get the house. And Justin Bieber's like, well, I'm 15. I got a learner's permit. Can I just drive it now? And he's like, nah, chill out. Slow down. Slow down. And then they walk over to like this little rock wall area. And Diddy says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but Diddy says, Justin and his friend are with me. I got guardianship over him for the weekend for 48 hours. You know, when Usher was a kid, I actually had guardianship. I don't technically have guardianship over Justin. But, you know, for the next 48 hours, he's, you know, they with me. And we're going to be freaking out and doing crazy stuff. And, you know, what we're going to be doing, we can't exactly talk about. And, like, just insane shit to say about a 15-year-old.
That's
and
a child.
Did you hear him on the Kevin Hart podcast stream? Where he's like,
no.
Yeah, we used to make Usher wrestle me for Frosted Flakes. And Kevin Hart was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, so Usher at that point was 10 years old and P. Diddy was 19. And P. Diddy, what he says is, he goes, oh, Usher was 10 and I was a couple years older. 9 years older. and he said, yeah, we used to be wrestling around in the bed over the Frosted Flakes. I don't know if that meant they were doing drugs. I don't fucking know what, but you should not be. He said they'd wake up together in the bed, that Usher was sleeping in P. Diddy's fucking bed since he was 10 years old. And it's like that's how this works. When you are abused, you put it on other people. Like it's. And, you know, everyone was wondering why Justin Bieber didn't want to perform the fucking Super Bowl with Usher. Probably because he got him fucking raped. You know, like, it's crazy how much falls into place once you start seeing who all is involved and how far this goes back and who all is connected to it. And it's like you start to see every one of these record heads were the same. You had L.A. Reid. You had Russell Simmons. You had Birdman. You had, obviously, P. Diddy. You have Jay-Z. Like, you can continue fucking naming them, and you're better off finding one who was not either a pedophile or pimping out their artist than finding one who was. It's... Oh, let me turn that off. It's fucking insane. And it's really littered with these kind of stories with the whole Puff Daddy thing, but I wanted to kind of back up and talk about the music industry for a second and how these artists find themselves in the situations, because what happens, and as someone who's been in the music industry, obviously not nearly at that level, but I had done records for, you know, some pretty famous people, Rich Homie Quan, T-Pain, Snoop Dogg, Ying Yang Twins. I could keep going. I've been in the music industry enough that I've seen the light side of it. I've seen other producers who get that 360 deal and go out to LA and are promised a career. And it's like those first couple months look so spectacular. They actually get songs under their own artistry. They get collabs. They get X, Y, and Z, and they're killing it. They get that that upfront check, that signing bonus money. But then they get addicted to drugs. And like one of the people that I knew that went out there, how they did it was they first got these really attractive women, you know, like the women he was trying to get with. The label sends them to hang out with him. Well, then they start asking him, hey, you know, we like to party. If you got any heroin, like that's how we party. And since he's out in LA and the only people he really knows is the label, he obviously goes to the label for help, and he's like, hey, these girls are wanting, you know, something very specific. If we could keep this under wraps, if y'all can help me out. And they did help him out. And then these girls started getting him to do it. Well, once he got addicted to it, well, the fucking label is now the one that hooked him up. They're effectively his drug dealer, his supplier. So now they control his whole fucking life, and he could do nothing. And they get him basically writing for other people because he's in a 360 deal. And anyone who's not in the music industry, I'm sure you've heard about how people talk shit about 360 deals. The reason why they talk shit is because a 360 deal means you are tied under contract as an artist for X number of albums. The label determines when these albums release. So if you're under a 3-album deal and they put out the first album and then they don't let you put out any other albums, which they have the full authority to prevent you from doing, you literally never leave the contract. There's no expiration on it except the albums, which are the label's control. So they get you in there. You know, if the first album doesn't like absolutely crush it, well, now that signing bonus you got, that was just that wasn't a bonus, it was an advance. Now they're using the word advance, which is what's in the paperwork. You actually owe that back. If you didn't make that money on that first album, well, now you got to write for other artists to make up for that balance. And now if they've got you hooked on other things, whether it be women, whether it be that they've literally started molesting you, whether it be drugs, what have you, you now have to work for them in order to pay that debt off. You
it's literally just like indentured servitude, but like sometimes for drugs, mm-hmm. like not even like a contract. Like I know a lot of times in industries other than entertainment, they're doing it in the UK a lot. They're always talking about these contracts where they basically just have you stuck under some debt. I'm just talking out of my ass here, but like mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of different situations where they're bringing back indentured servitude. You know what I keep getting recommended to me the last week? Everybody on Reels and TikTok wants me to go work in the fucking mines in Australia and like live in the company town that they give you. They're like,
the
hey,
mines are calling.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Like, get ready with me. Like, they work a 12-hour day. They're like, you get up, they give you your own apartment, it's air conditioned, they give you breakfast, you go work like 3 or 4 hours, then you get like another like break. Then you work like 3 or 4 more, 6 more hours or whatever it is, you get dinner, then you go work out, you can go read, and I'm like, you live in the box and you're eating the bugs. Like, go fuck yourself. Oh, like, get this God. Away from me. But like,
yeah, no, it's totally like a great time working steps. In this little company town for this dude named Cornelius Thatcher. Like, it's a great time.
He definitely has a handlebar mustache that's severely waxed.
Mm-hmm. And the
Isaac is right there.
I've heard a lot of people saying things.
It's not
like,
severely waxed.
It's just a regular mustache too.
Yeah, it's just regular. Yeah. God, you're such a generalist.
I've heard a lot of people like complaining about like these producers and artists. They're like, oh, well, you're dumb for like sticking it out with Diddy and not leaving. They couldn't. They would have to abandon their entire music career and I guess go get a job at fucking Amazon. Like, you literally can't do that if you want to be in music. If all you know is music, you literally don't have a choice but to stay tied to this person. So it's like when P. Diddy is up in front of this guy's face and like showing his producer gay porn against his will and telling him, hey, you need to watch this. And hey, let me grab your ass and shit. And he's not okay with that. He can't fucking leave. He's tied under a 360 deal. These people, like, their entire lives are over if they were to leave. And what Puffy would do is he treated this a lot like the original Illuminati with that initiation, like with Jeffrey Epstein, where it was like, you know, actually sexually using a child to get your initiation to the fucking political game. You, with Puff Daddy and these other influential people in the music industry, it was getting fucked in the ass, especially if you were not gay. And there are plenty of artists who have come out and said now, like, that's how you got in. Yeah, like you had to.
No, put the microphone. I'm not like.
Oh, yeah. sorry. I thought you were like doing a motion.
No.
Yeah,
reminding you don't have this the boom arm.
Mike's just fist pumping, reminding us that he's pro gay.
Yeah, I was for it. That was their initiation, and it's a very specific initiation because it's also part of the breaking process. So he can use it on this artist, like, hey, you want to go from getting $100,000 to being a millionaire, like instantly having a P. Diddy verse or a Rick Ross verse or you name it. Like, this is how it works. You got to man the fuck up and bend the fuck over. And, you know, that money means something. And also, like I said, everyone's kind of in that gray area anyway. Like, it's not as crazy as a lot of people make it out to be. You know, you've got a lot of pressure. You have influential people. You grew up listening to Puff Daddy. If you're a hip-hop artist, like, this motherfucker means something.
Even around, like, the straightest bonfires, guys will ask each other hypotheticals, like, how much money would it take for you to suck a dick? You know? Yeah. So, like, everybody has a number, right? And so
everybody has a number.
Yeah, even,
of
like,
course.
Even the straightest person is like, oh, that's a... that's,
yeah, my dollar amount is low, but if I have a specific request, ability to fly...
You know, it's like we all joke around about, you know, for $1 million, it changed my mind. Well, a million was on the fucking table for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a joke anymore. That's what they were being offered.
Shit, I'd suck a dick for $1 million.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, once they've already taken that step, Puffy knew he could take the next step. And that's where the prostitution starts. And usually what he did was the next step would be he hired these trans people. He'd get the artist fucked up. And, you know, it's an artist that was really into sleeping with women that, you know, was not claiming to be gay. But he'd get them fucked up. They didn't know what was going on. And then he gets a video of them having sex with a trans person. And then he uses that against them. And he's like, bro, you're already fucking dudes. What are you talking about? And obviously, trans women are real women. But you get my point. That's right. How he would use that against them. And then it's...
With the stigma,
you know,
as usual.
Yeah, then it would be like... They'd be getting fucked up at a party, and Puffy would put a girl on him that he knew that they were into, but, you know, she's getting him to do things, like, in front of other dudes, and then another dude gets involved, and then it turns into XYZ. And it was, he had a whole fucking process. He took them through these steps to where he had broken them, to where he had got them comfortable with it, and then he got what he needed. Because a lot of people, they don't realize, like, how this works. You know, Puffy did not make a lot of money off Bad Boy Records. Like, sure, he made millions of dollars, mostly of stealing publishing from other artists. But where Puffy became a hundred millionaire and then a billionaire was because Puffy got his clothing line, was because Puffy got the Ciroc deal, was because Puffy got Revolt TV, was because Puffy got all of these huge organizations that took money that was not in the hip-hop game. And he had to start branching out. And then he starts meeting the billionaires that actually run shit. And the billionaires have an appetite. And yeah, you want Sean John clothing? You need $100 million to put up to start that. I got a guy who can help you out. You want to start your Revolt Media? Yeah, they want you to put up $100 million plus to start that off. Go ahead.
Can I bring up said one of these billionaires?
I'm guessing Ron Burkle.
Yes, Ron Burkle. Exactly.
Into it.
And that's where the
Jump
Epstein. That's where the Epstein connection.
That's his
is.
Buddy.
Like there's like
him and Bill Clinton and
there.
Ron Burkle, best buds. Their Ron
Mark
Burkle's
Wahlberg
plane
too,
was called the Air. The Burkle's plane
Mark
was called
Wahlberg,
the Air. Yes. Burkle's plane was called the Air Fuck One. He bought a Boeing 757 because I guess G6s are for peasants. So he got a whole fucking
G-Spot 6 was right there.
Yeah, right. And yeah, it was Air Fuck One because they caught Bill Clinton coming on and off of it a lot.
Mm. Damn.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I think you brought it right there. Diddy and Burkle. Diddy or Burkle was a grocer, NHL billionaire, and he and Diddy,
Whole Foods.
Yeah, got involved with the Aqua
Barnes
Hydrate,
Noble.
Some
yep.
some you know Gatorade, you know knockoff, whatever. But yeah,
like grocery.
Burkle was a frequent Lolita Express, like Epstein kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the degrees of separation aren't they're not very many. It doesn't take that many to connect the two. And then, of course, there's Rachel Conrad. Insidious. We should censor ourselves right now.
I know.
Of course, there's that photo of Diddy with Rachel Conrad, who was one of Epstein's, like, what do they call them? Like, model... like agents, you know, she was the model recruiter, and there's a picture mm-hmm. with Diddy with his arm around Rachel Conrad. So there's like they're part of the same circles, right?
Yeah.
The same operating circles.
Yeah, Because they both serve the same clientele. And that's effectively what they were doing. It's, you know, do you want to fuck Usher or Meek Mill? All right, hit up P. Diddy. Do you want to fuck 12-year-old kids? You hit up fucking Epstein.
Can I bring up one more billionaire?
Yeah.
So it was always very odd to me that Robert Kraft, the Kraft cheese guy, also the owner of the New England Patriots, yeah. personally got involved with Meek Mill's like very unfair prison sentence. And he got him out of it. Now, Robert Kraft, this is where like their sexuality becomes very bizarre to me. Because you guys remember the scandal with Kraft and like the Asian massage sex like parlors?
No, I do not. Please give me some background.
Oh, shit, I do remember that.
So
I don't
Kraft
know the
got
details,
busted in a sting for this like strip mall Miami hand job massage place.
And okay.
It's very bizarre.
Epstein's
like,
backyard, keep in mind.
Yeah, well, that's that. There is some proximity there, so that's what's kind of curious. It's like, why is this New England billionaire flying to this random strip mall in Broward County and getting a hand job? Yeah. Must be the best fucking hand job in the world. But his connection with Meek Mill, that and him helping Meek Mill get released from prison early, starts to make a lot more sense after that. So. Who knows? Maybe more stuff will come out about, because Meek Mill was like really like unfairly sentenced. It was like a ridiculous case against him. And maybe, you know, who knows like how involved with law enforcement Diddy is. I mean, Diddy seems to have a lot of law enforcement connections. So, you know, the veins run deep with how these systems operate and how they control you.
Well, more important, the billionaires run deep. So since Diddy already, like people literally called Ron Burkle his sugar daddy. That is who put up the money for the Revolt Media deal, the $100 million that Diddy couldn't come up with. Like Diddy wasn't even worth $100 million total there. Ron put it up like it wasn't fucking shit. And he put it up for several other business ventures. Pretty much everything after that, Diddy is funded by Ron Burkle.
So he's basically like Leslie Wexner. He's Diddy's Leslie Wexner.
Yeah, he's who takes Diddy to be a billionaire. And when someone makes you a billionaire, you owe him a lot, a fucking lot. And so that is the main probably client that Diddy was servicing a lot of these celebrity prostitutes to, including Meek Mill. So, yeah, when Meek goes down, well, Meek's already been on the menu. So, yeah, not only Ron, but, you know, Ron's billionaire friends who are coming over to the house for these secret freak-off parties, as Diddy called them. They were already getting them a piece of Meek, and they missed that being taken off of the menu. And keep in mind, Ron Burkle has helped raise 9 figures for the Democratic Party. Not 7 figures, 9 fucking figures. One more zero is a billion. So the idea of how much political influence Ron Burkle probably has, trust me, between him and his buddies, they can get fucking anybody in jail.
Good news, Ron Burkle, not Jewish.
Well, the tie was two alleged, you know, other white disgusting men around him. Some of which
I'm just
may have
relieved.
Been
I always have to look this up sometimes. You know, like
go ahead,
are they
go
Jewish
ahead.
Or not?
I have two questions. Am I remembering it wrong, or wasn't Trump involved in getting Meek Mill out of prison as well? Like, I for some reason feel like that was part of it as well, but I could be wrong. But also, we've been at it for almost an hour, I think. But like, you got to get into where you bring up them sacrificing a kid or as part of like initiation. Is that something that has been here or like
no. What I was saying is
more
like
just
with
like
the
in,
regular...
the in the moral sense, because like there's the obvious grooming like you're talking about.
No, I meant in the sense of fucking a child.
Right,
not,
okay.
Not killing
sorry.
Child. Like the initiation, you know, back in the day was killing the pig on top of you. The initiation for Epstein's club was fucking an underage kid.
Yeah, so more just metaphorically.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean,
not exactly, but then you so the billionaire and where I was going with Kanye is the fact that if you go back, like, I don't know how many people know about like Kanye's history. He basically kept going into fucking Jay-Z's record label for the whole start of his career. Jay-Z wouldn't listen to his fucking music. And Jay-Z is like arguably even worse than Diddy. We don't quite have the receipts coming out like on Diddy right now, but I have a feeling they're coming. Like, people have been saying this kind of shit about Jay-Z for a long fucking time. Like, arguably, Jay-Z's kind of, like, taught Diddy a lot of the ropes. But And that's what a lot of these abusers do, is first they create the need, why you need them to give you attention. And in Kanye's case, it was Jay-Z held the keys to his career, like a lot of these record label heads do. They hold the determining factor whether or not you get to have a career in this industry. And so eventually Jay-Z, you know, starts giving Kanye a taste of that good life that he was singing about. And if you'll notice, his early songs are sprinkled with anti-Semitism, all the way back to Black Skinhead, and even a few things before that. And I think a lot of this is, I think Kanye was served up in a lot of ways like these other artists were. And I think it probably was a Jewish guy, and Kanye never let that go. And I think, like, if you watch his music and his progression into this just hatred and anti-Semitism, it gets more and more. It's someone who's already dealing with mental illness, and the trauma that they blocked out is slowly leaking through, and they're getting more and more wild. And as he's getting more rich and more powerful, Kanye is starting to feel like, no, that wasn't okay. You know, now I'm somebody. I can say something. I can do something. And he very fucking clearly took the wrong approach to that. You know, I get hit by a fucking train, fucking Nazi. But I do think that there's probably some very real trauma there, that just because of how Kanye's acting, it probably was a Jewish person. Not that, obviously, that the race really has anything to do with it. I just think that to Kanye, it had something to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the typical, like, low IQ guy thing. It's like, you enter into an industry, you see, like, some of the players involved, and you go after, like, the races of them instead of the fact that they just have power over you because they have money. It's like the same thing we say about just all the dudes who have, like, the anti-capitalist critique in the dumbest possible way because they're brought up here in this country, and they're just purposely steered away from any kind of materialist communist critique.
You want to talk about, like, Diddy's Israeli connections?
I was going to say, not apologizing for Kanye, but Through the Wire was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, I was such a Kanye fan growing up. It hurts. It hurts.
I can't remember his name, but when I was in New York a handful of years ago, I was in the Lower East Side, right off Houston, and there were, like, these street peddlers. They were like, selling stuff. And some of the stuff they were selling was, like, BDSM gear on the streets. I don't think they realized what it was, because they're, like, these African migrants. They had no idea. But this guy in all black, like, yelling at them. And I remember, like, kind of getting in between me and, like, dude, relax, like, chill out, leave him alone. And he's like, there are kids here, and they have, like, this sex stuff out here. And then he and I started, like, arguing. I forget about what exactly, but he was like, oh, I helped produce Yeezus. I thought he was insane, right? And he's telling me his name, and I'm recording this as it's happening. And it turns out it really was. He wasn't lying. That was this producer who's Jewish. And of course, we got into Israel somehow. I always care.
How the fuck?
But he was clearly, like, insane. He also just had, like, insane amounts of, like, dandruff everywhere. You can tell, like, someone, if they can't tell, like, that kind of hygiene, you're like, okay, your mind's elsewhere. You're not doing so good.
Yeah.
But this guy, deeply Jewish, was one of the producers of Yeezus. And I always wondered about that. Like,
that's wild, though.
If you guys want to post it on your Discord, I'll send it to you.
I mean,
yeah, I think he also at that point was not, like, so in everyone's face with it. I feel like he was still in the breadcrumb, you know, the people he was comfortable around. He probably was saying some anti-Semitic shit. But also, it's like that wasn't uncommon in the hip hop game. Like, only recently have we started to you know, tell people, like, hey, you can't say, like, Jews are evil. Like, what the fuck, dog? Like, it really stems from this whole, you know, projection of Hollywood being run by the Jews, just because there happens to be some very sick motherfuckers who do have some control, who do happen to be Jewish. It very clearly is not run by the Jews. That's the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard
in
my life.
It's run by Texas oil barons who run Hollywood.
Yeah, honestly. And, like, But to someone like these artists who, you know, they just hear these things and they don't have a proper understanding or education of it, that sticks with them. And when things are not going their way, people are like, oh, well, we don't really get anywhere as like black artists, you know, because the Jews run everything. And that's where it all stems from. And they get used to saying that shit casually, because before the whole internet where we actually started, like, what they call canceling is just us actually making you like take accountability for the shit you say. It's literally just accountability, and it doesn't even work that well. i.e. every motherfucker on X right now, like, it's kind of working in reverse right now, if I'm being honest. Like, Shane Gillis has a career. That sentence alone is wild. Like, it's so crazy, because it was like we peaked at a certain point where canceling had all this power, where it was like we kick out what was the redhead guy that was so famous before?
Carrot Top?
Carrot Top?
No. The redhead guy.
Louis C.K.?
Yeah, Louis C.K. It was like, that was the point where if you fucked up and did fucked up shit, your career got ended.
Yeah, but he started touring again like 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's fine now.
Because shit's changed. Now, that's actually we've created this whole subgenre of anti-cancel culture that now, that's actually something people play into. Like, if you've watched any of the fucking comedians coming out of Joe Rogan's spaceship or whatever the fuck he called it, mothership or whatever, like nightclub, like, they're literally all borderline fucking Nazis. They're saying shit that 5-6 years ago you could not have a career and say. Now they're going viral off of it. It's wild.
Who's the Nazi comedian?
They're all not. Anyone who steps foot in the fucking mothership is a Nazi.
I know that Tim Dillon is particularly bad. Every time I've heard a quote from him, it's like pretty fucking awful. There's another one that was particularly awful. But Shane Gillis, you're right on with him. Like, that guy's fucked up.
He's a fucking Nazi. He's a fucking Nazi.
Save the outrage for people who actually deserve it. Shane Gillis is funny. He's fine.
What? He's funny for a Nazi, sure.
No, he's fine. Dude, Nazis aren't funny. I don't remember. Look, there's never been a funny fucking German as far as I'm concerned. He's not a Nazi. Yeah. He's like, no, he's fine. He's not right wing. He's not left wing. I think that's
I just want to be clear that the hill I die on is he is literally a right wing fascist Nazi. Like, I genuinely believe that based on the words that come out of his mouth.
I don't think so. As a Jew, I don't think my Jew shield here.
That is a better position. Completely agree. Completely agree. I totally understand that you have a better perspective here. I'm just saying what I believe.
I do wonder. Okay, I do wonder what's going to happen to Dude. You know, you did mention he could get like shoestring in jail if he ends up going to jail. Oh, is this like a criminal? This is like civil, right? There's a RICO case against him, so he could see prison. But Kevin Spacey. He's fine.
Yeah, I don't know how.
He's cool now, I guess. He's on his road back. We will see a Kevin Spacey movie in the near future. It is very interesting the amount of suspicious deaths around all of Kevin Spacey's accusers. So I think the thing to pay attention to right now are some mysterious deaths in the industry. I think Jay-Z is going to start wanting to clip people, because I think he knows like his time's
coming.
Up.
It's coming, yeah. No, Jay-Z's next up on the chopping block. As far as do I think Diddy's going to get killed, I genuinely don't. It obviously would not surprise me. But the thing is like I was saying earlier, Epstein had information on the motherfuckers that run shit. Diddy really only had shit on the people below Diddy. So it's like, I think he's going to catch some hard charges. I think if he stays out of jail, his career is obviously fucking over. I think everyone's gonna disassociate with him, but I don't think Diddy can bring anybody down, and I think it was designed that way. Epstein was unique because I think he caught them off guard. I don't think they knew he was recording them. I think he was actually really intelligent with his approach to that. But Diddy, they had him under control. These motherfuckers are billionaires. They've been playing this game for centuries. Like, they pick motherfuckers that they know they can burn. And Diddy's getting burned right now.
I'm going to maintain my scene with Diddy. He was a CIA asset.
Certainly, yeah.
I mean, I think Whitney Webb pretty like clearly illustrated Epstein's CIA ties, especially with Mossad. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Diddy has some sort of connections as well. I mean, one of the conspiracies in the rap community was about how gangster rap was a creation of the CIA.
I had not heard that theory.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's. I mean, Ice Cube was talking about it recently. That
God.
Intelligence recent interview.
Yeah, he was talking about how gangster rap was a creation of the CIA.
Wow. Well, it certainly came
wild
to the commercial.
And true.
It certainly came to the commercial market because of that. So if you circle back to, you know, obviously one of the biggest events in hip hop is the assassination of Tupac and Biggie. So obviously we already know Biggie's connection. Pac's last real
Diddy
album
was in the car, by the way, when Tupac or when Biggie got shot. He was in the same car.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
He could be like, you know, like the theory that the JFK's driver shot him.
I was just thinking this is like Grassy Knoll territory.
Everyone says that he was doing the same shit to Biggie and Biggie was about to leave the label. Like, he didn't have him under the same type of contract he has now. Like, he's gotten a lot wiser since then. And he thought he was going to lose Biggie and he was going to lose those royalties. And Biggie dead was worth more money to him than Biggie alive. And as far as Pac goes, Pac put out an album called Kill Illuminati. And hit, fucking Diddy's whole thing was being the Illuminati. Like, that was arguably, like, made directly against Bad Boy Records, Diddy and fucking Biggie. Now, there are interviews where Tupac actually talks about why he named the album that. If it's true, then it wasn't about Bad Boy Records. But, you know, it certainly would make a lot of sense if it was about Bad Boy. I mean, hell, he made everything else about Bad Boy. So, yeah, put out an album called Kill Illuminati. You get executed by who calls himself the fucking Illuminati. Like, everyone in the music industry, it's just agreed upon that Diddy literally put the hit out on Tupac. That's just, like, a known thing in the music industry. Whether or not we'll ever see receipts of that, I'm sure not. But as far as why that happened, well, that was kind of the end of, like, the kind of independent game. Like, they shut down Death Row Records, you know, just has a terrible time afterwards. Dr. Dre does all right with his record label, but after that, it really, the hip-hop industry just starts commercializing and monopolizing immediately after that. Like, Biggie and Tupac kind of represented the end of the independent hip-hop game, like the black community having control of hip-hop. It's now owned by the white record label execs.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
I mean, so do you guys want to wrap it up here with any, like, final thoughts? Like, I know my whole overarching thought is going to be the same thing I always say. It's fucking capitalism. Like, all the people who think that this is, like, the cabal, or they think that, like, all of Hollywood is just a bunch of secret Jewish gay pedophiles. It's like, you're missing the forest through the trees. Like, if you don't understand that it's a system of unaccountable rich people who use their power and wealth to get whatever the fuck they want, and sometimes they want depraved things, and then they use the stigma of that to then hold over other people's heads to then get more wealth and power, and they create a whole system of that because we don't have any kind of system of holding people accountable to, like, public scrutiny, democratically deciding the way our industries are run, or what do you call it, like, a way for the public to investigate people's private lives in a way that is uncomfortable in the West. Like, we just value privacy too much in a way that communist parties simply do not. And the whole reason that we cannot uncover all these things in a way that is satisfying to anyone here, and they keep delving further and further into madness and conspiracy theories, because they never get any payoff. They get all these, it's like an episode of Lost. You get more questions dumped on you and never any fucking answers. Like, it's always unsatisfying. And the only way to get that in the real world is to have, like, an organized proletariat. Like, people who actually hold an industry to the meritocratic ideals that it's supposed to. It's like, you could actually have an entertainment industry that lets good artists get to the top if you know that it's not just being run by a bunch of fucking pedophiles, because you have a communist party that holds them accountable. It's the only way to do it, folks. What'd you got, Ward? Sorry.
Accountability in this economy?
Yeah.
I can't afford it. And yeah, no, like, oh God, I literally just lost my Sophia. Sorry.
What?
I just had to say something to you.
I'll go while you start to remember.
I got it. I figured it out again.
All
right.
That's all I needed to have his turn threatened.
Yeah, no. No, and people want to act like these, like, mysterious quote-unquote cabals that, like, run everything. And it's like, no, 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 we know who basically all these people are. They're published in Forbes, like, every year. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, they have faces, they have names, they have mailing addresses. They're people who exist. There's not some mysterious, ethereal force that's out there.
So they have allergies?
Yeah. Put some peanuts in there. My take on this, I'm going to do one fake, one funny one, one serious one. Funny one I have is, I think that this is proof that homophobia is a CIA psychological operation. So that
I love it.
Yeah, they make you... the reason you find gay people annoying is not your fault. The CIA designed it.
So they can weaponize it.
You guys remember the Jonathan Van Ness stuff with Queer Eye, by the way?
I mean, I've,
it's a, I it's love a Jonathan Van Ness.
For the gay community. No, I think that... I think P. Diddy, like Epstein, is just... they don't really exist in any real way. I mean, I think that they're play type... The writer Carl Oglesby, let me make sure I get this... quote right here. He says, conspiracy is the habitual practice of the ruling class. And so everyone's just acting in their own personal financial interests and the way power moves. I do think, it does seem like you can only make it in this world if you are compromised in some, either you compromise yourself and your values, or, you know, you put someone's dick in your ass and you didn't really want to. So I don't know. At the same time, I think there's a silver lining in the way that how bad they are at this in the long run, like how it inevitably just destroys itself. Eventually it will collapse. But until then, I don't know. I feel bad for the rap for rappers right now, because I think we're all going to be.
I know. Like, listening to this, I'm just like, it really reeks of just like chattel slavery. Like, all right, you know, now, like, what's next? The NBA, the NFL, I'm sure it's there. Like, in what way are we putting, you know, our best and brightest up for sale?
So as a jock, I'm a big jock.
NCAA is there.
I think sports is one of the places where there's like actual meritocracy kind of exists, because you gotta be able to put a ball.
You gotta be
in
able
the
to dribble
somehow,
the ball.
You know, like it's harder to fake that kind of stuff. I mean, it is rigged. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard about how all the NBA referees come from this one town, like outside of Pennsylvania or something like that.
No, I hadn't heard that.
I mean, there's a lot of like gambling there. Anywhere there's money, there's like corruption and not. Yeah,
anywhere there's money, anywhere there's a system. Because I mean, like, even, you know, just thinking of sports, of like the gymnastics, like at MSU, the Nassar, all the sexual abuse that was happening with that, you know, it's just like anywhere there's a system, there's going to be abuse, it seems like, unfortunately.
Of course. And one thing I would say, I do want to just connect a few other little final things, just because I got to finish my Charlie Day web.
Of course.
So if anyone remembers the Orlando Bloom thing that happened, like, what's that been, years back now, where he's doing an interview.
Orlando Bloom thing?
Yeah, what's that?
Bro, Orlando Bloom was on That's So Raven with Raven Simone. He was kind of very popular on Disney Channel. You know, their show was really killing it at that time.
You're talking about Legolas, right?
Who?
He was in Lord of the Rings, like Orlando Bloom, like, the famous actor.
Oh, my God. Orlando Brown.
Okay.
I've been drinking. The bottle's empty. Orlando Bloom.
Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean. That dude.
When Orlando Bloom was on Disney Channel. Okay, Orlando Brown. I'm sorry. Orlando Brown.
I don't remember Legolas ever.
Now we're
on
getting super
slanderous.
But he's on Disney Channel. It got very popular back then. And then years later, afterwards, he did all these like crazy interviews where he had like lost his mind. He was saying wild shit about how, you know, him and Raven used to fuck his kids and shit, like just nasty, crazy shit to just be saying in interviews. And like everyone was like, he's just making shit up. Like no one believed a word that came out of his mouth. We did one of these interviews and he said he's talking about like his music career. And then out of nowhere, he just said, what did he say?
Something to puppy,
just like,
right?
Yeah, he's licking his lips, and then he goes, "Sorry, I'm on my Diddy shit, licking my lips like that." And then it's like he snaps, and he goes, "Diddy, I remember when you gave me that oosh goosh magoosh, that good, I loved it, Diddy. I love you, Diddy. It was good, Diddy." And then he starts crying, and the guy's like, "Are you good?" And then he snaps out and like starts talking about something totally else. So what happened is after Disney Channel, after the show got discontinued, he wanted to have a music career at, like, as a teenager. Guess who fucking signs him? Bad Boy Records. And so now it's like all making sense, like why he went fucking crazy. And it's like we start to see all of these celebrities that we think have lost it are fucking rape victims, man. It's like, you think Britney Spears is a coincidence? Her manager was fucking Dr. Luke and Max Martin. Like, bro, these were the dudes that ran the shit. Max Martin was Britney Spears, fucking Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. Mm-hmm. Dr. Luke picks up Kesha, Katy Perry, all of these artists that we thought have lost their shit. It's because, yeah, that's how anyone acts after they've been fucking sex trafficked.
You should have known, too. When you call yourself Bad Boy, come on. It's right there. It's right there. If someone introduced me as I'm a bad boy, I'd be like, I'm staying away from you.
Right. My mama told me about you.
Yeah.
I also want to bring Will Smith into this because obviously he's been in the news. You're right, of course, got to. So since he's been in the news with the whole Jada Pinkett shit, now this is making sense too. Like, we all knew like Jada was probably a beard for Will. Like, we've heard, you know, some accusations. Will was one of Diddy's best friends. He was always at the fucking freak offs. Like, everyone says like Diddy and Will were inseparable. He was getting down. Jada didn't go. Jada wasn't allowed at the fucking parties. And it's like, now we realize how Hollywood works, because they do want to weaponize homosexuality. And this is another thing Cat Williams talked about, how these agents and shit and the people in control, they make them get a wife that looks really, you know, non-suspicious, I guess. And they keep them locked into these hetero relationships so that they can control them, so that their homosexuality is used against them. And that's what's happened to Will Smith, is they use his homosexuality against him. And that's why Jade and him stay in a relationship, even though they've clearly been separated, if not their whole relationship,
at least a couple decades.
They're
Scientologists. Like, Jada and Will are Scientologists, and Scientology operates in the same way. They get you to confess your gay thoughts, and then you're compromised. I mean, that's why John Travolta, Tom Cruise. I mean, I've heard some really crazy stories about Tom Cruise going to parties with prosthetics on and sucking cock. I've heard this from three different sources. But you're right. They use homosexuality against them, but which is kind of weird too, because like now it's like, it's fine. It's cool enough. Maybe not in the black community.
And that's why a lot of this is coming out. That's why a lot of this is coming out, is because as we're getting more okay with it and people are like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'll tell people that you tried to, you know, fuck me in the ass now.
To be fair, though, have you ever had your cock sucked by somebody with a prosthetic on? It feels way better. It's like so much better. Sorry, guys.
What kind of prosthetics?
It
doesn't matter.
My Instagram account gets way more attention when I pretend to be gay. Like, people love that so much. It's like, it's cool now. So I do wonder, you know, how much longer
that
kind
pretend?
Of blackmail. I mean, obviously, pedophilia will never be cool. They'll never rehabilitate that. But
yo, fuck Comrade Broccoli. Fuck that page. It was like a leftist page, or still is, but they were like trying.
I remember Comrade Broccoli, and then what was the term they tried to use? They're like, I'm a minor attracted person. A map, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was like, what is this? Which sent me down a very uncomfortable rabbit hole of, we're trying to normalize, basically, you know.
Which is another fucking psyop. I'll go on a limb. I don't care. I'll say it on a recording. Like, I think that anyone who says they're trying to normalize minor attracted persons, they're either like a right wing person who is painting all LGBT people as closet pedos, or they're a quote unquote left wing person who's actually a psyop saying that they're, you know, trying to normalize pedophilia as an actual sexuality, yeah. which like feeds into the right wing and like anti-Semitic and like fascist paranoia. So yeah, it's a fucking side. Like, I just I cannot truck with any of that shit. And the fact that like that account didn't lose like all of their following immediately really bugged me the fuck out and made me have a lot more suspicion about like Fed involvement in Instagram pages and Politigram, which is like such a silly avenue for them to even bother with. But whatever. Like,
no, dude, it's real. I have a pedophile joke post coming up soon. So Barron Trump is currently 17, but he's turning 18 on March 20th. Remember how these countdowns, like Dane Cook style countdowns for like Ashley, like the Olsen twins, like turning 18, right?
Oh yeah, they used to do that.
I'm gonna make a countdown for Barron Trump turning 18.
So oh no. I bet you there's actually some women who are like on the right who are like doing that kind of thing because
no, there's guys, dude. I've seen so many like
oh no,
like they yassify Barron Trump and talk about how good looking he is and stuff. It's fucking soup. Like there's this weird like right wing fetish thing going on for Barron Trump.
I mean, I was aware.
He's like 6'8" or something.
I was aware that they were like already holding him up as some like Aryan race like exemplar because he's like super tall and he's like this blonde like little like well not little but he's like this what is, like I don't even want to get the race wrong. Is he Slavic? Like what is the
Slovenian?
Okay, yeah, like so he's got like this. He should be playing basketball. Like that is the joke, right? Like
Bulgaria.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong.
Bulgaria, right where the Illuminati was held.
Yeah, Bulgaria.
It all circles back.
I can't remember where Melania is from, but
Slovenia.
Oh, that's what you just. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Luka Doncic.
I can't remember from 2 seconds.
Best basketball player in the NBA is a chubby white boy. It's awesome. It's so funny.
Geography is hard for Americans.
Yeah, that's the story of Diddy.
Well, thank you for doing that, Sterling. I really appreciate it. I love when I don't have to write a whole bunch of haphazard notes. But, I mean, that's just, like, that is the craziest shit, dude. And, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we, like, dipped our toes into it last week. But to get full into it, and thank you so much, Isaac, for bringing your knowledge. Because it looked like you looked into it. I mean, you looked into it a lot more than I did.
I'm still confused
as
fuck.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on and letting me make some dumb jokes. I was very excited to make some jokes.
Good to meet
about
you.
This.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected us to do some kind of like deep dive with a bunch of like cited sources or whatever. Like we're just, I mean, Sterling had a bunch of facts, but it's like you're not going to get a bunch of like what do you call it, like scholarly articles here. Like,
scholarly resources. Source, I made it up.
All right, well, thank you guys. I'll end the recording here. Let's see. Wait. Oh no.
What happened?
Damn, rude as hell. Well, good night, everybody.
All right, bye.
Wonderful time.
He's got Minecraft to play.
Wow. Okay.
I hope all of you have a great
night. Now we can have fun.
He really did that.
He did.
He didn't come back.
I have all of this.
Dude, he showed up late and left early.
Oh, wow. There he is.
Oh, he comes back. What the fuck?
Good. So you can hear us all talk shit about you.
Dude, just immediately talking shit about you. You can't leave us alone. You can't leave us alone.
I don't know how to end the recording, though. There's no bot. Like,
I think we all have to leave to end the thing.
All right, well, I'll leave.
Wait a minute. Bye.
And since I said a proper good night, yeah, we can all actually leave on a good note now.
Yeah,
unlike
thank
what
you,
Mike
Ward.
Tried to do.
Thanks yeah, for coming,
everyone have
Isaac.
A great night.
Thanks for having
sweet
me.
Dreams.
I thanked you guys a bunch of times.
Oh yeah. Whatever. Where's my mouse?
It didn't feel like sincere.
Yeah. Totally
everyone have a great
well, it wasn't
night,
sincere.
Mike. Bye.
Bye.
Peace out.
See you guys. Thank you. I still don't know how to end it.